For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay from the Power Mall. I'm here to talk with you today about one of our most powerful products that does not get enough recognition. That product is Blockbuster All Clear by Good Health Naturally. Blockbuster is a blend of proteolytic enzymes and antioxidants, which combine serrapeptase and natokinase with digestive enzymes, antioxidants, pine bark extract, and much more. The unique combination of these ingredients have been carefully selected to provide powerful support for a range of health conditions, with particular benefit to heart and cardiovascular. Kidney health is another area that benefits from targeted enzyme support, as there is a close link between cardiovascular system and kidney function. If you'd like to learn more about this powerful product, give me a call today, 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give. For questions or comments about today's broadcast, please feel free to email us at support@thepowerhour.com. Or call 877-817-9829 and select option number 2. We'd love your show feedback and guest recommendations, so please feel free to reach out and be a part of the Power Hour team.
The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Power Hour. Guest Tosin, me, Alan Myers. Happy to be back. And I'm with my very, very good friend, Cicely Davis. Cicely, say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is going to be wonderful. It was interesting to listen to the show opener disclaimer. Controversial? We're just going to be talking about facts.
Absolutely.
How can that be? I mean, are facts now controversial?
Yes, which is why we need shows like this, so that we can snap back to normal, right? And we need to redefine and get the definition of normal actually needs to change back to its original definition. So we have a lot of work to do.
Oh, darn it. I forgot my dictionary. I can't look up normal. Oh, maybe I can find it on my phone.
Yes.
Anyway, today, I want Cicely to take a few moments to introduce herself to you all. But before we do, it's how we met. We met totally by surprise. She was a guest on, and you know him, Doug Gibbs, Mr. Constitution. She came on. I had no idea before the show started that Cicely was going to be on. And it was a great show. We've known each other ever since. What we're going to talk about today is one of the things I learned from Cicely on that first show, because she made this comment, and I'll tell you what it is after she introduces herself. And I didn't know what to say. I just took it in as, oh, this is important. Before we get to that important statement and topic, Cicely, please introduce yourself.
Yes. Hello again, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on. Alan, great always to be with you. My name is Cicely Davis. I'm actually a resident of the great state of Minnesota. As you know, the current running nominee, Tim Walz, is my governor, unfortunately. But my name is Cicely Davis. I ran against Ilhan Omar in the midterm elections of 2022. Obviously, the outcome was not at all what I had hoped. Very disappointing. But I am not originally from Minnesota. I'm actually born in Rochester, New York. But more importantly, what was interesting about my race was that I've been in Minnesota since 1987. So I claim that I am definitely a Minnesota girl. But I actually am an American who happens to be Black, and we can talk about race in another show, but I actually grew up in what is called the Black Monolith, and
you took my phrase.
Oh. I'm so sorry, but I think this is what knocked you off your chair that day, and understanding that there is indeed a system, there is a belief, there is a culture within the community in which it's called the Black Monolith. Now, I didn't know exactly what that meant or what it was, or that it had a definition, until I heard from a brilliant man by the name of Thomas Sowell. But what the Black Monolith is for listeners today is the belief, it is the system, it is the requirement that if you are born Black, that you automatically, without question, without deviation, without hesitation, and with very pressurized expectation, vote all Black and vote all Democrat. You do not deviate, you don't question, and you just do what you're told because that is what is expected. And I actually am someone who started to deviate and question during Obama's, the middle of his first term, did not vote for him for the second, and recognize that there is a need for us to, and I mean, when I say us, I mean Americans who happen to be Black. And it's so hard for me to even say the Black thing because I don't, race is a whole another issue for me. But
can I interrupt for 1 minute? Can I interrupt for 1 minute? Okay. Because you're already into the program. And I want to, before we go, and you're doing a great job, I want to introduce two things.
Okay.
One, I looked up the term normal.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Here we go.
I don't have my dictionary with me. Usual, average, typical, standard. Okay.
Sure.
So we want to get back to a place where, and Sissy and I have talked about this a lot over the time period, which is, how many races are there, Sicily?
There is but one race, which is why I'm struggling with the whole black thing, right? I'm struggling with that anyhow. I believe in culture, but race is difficult for me. So, but for the sake of conversation, I'm because that was the extent of my understanding at that time, was that I'm black, right?
Right.
Yes, and so that began this amazing journey. I mixed that with volunteerism at the VA hospital, spending time with our veterans. And what they did for me was not only share their stories, not only spend time with me, but they taught me, they educated me about the exceptionalism of America and why service is so important. And that there is no concept of race. And from there, I realized that I had been lied to and that I had been manipulated and that there was indeed a very important mission for me to think as an individual and to remind myself that I am first a child of God and second, I am indeed an American who belongs to a specific culture in America. And that caused me to volunteer. I then started voting alongside, in concert with my personal values, and ultimately ended up running against very vile individual. So here we are.
All right. Before we get too far, some people may not know the name, Thomas Sowell, an American, American? Economist. He is 94 years old. He grew up, he was born in North Carolina, grew up in Harlem. Due to poverty and problems at this house, he had to drop out of high school. He served in the Korean War as a Marine, which means he still is a Marine. Long story short, he went from that very humble beginning to basically a world-known educator and economist. And that is where this term came from. But before I want to really get into that, I want to get a little bit more into your background, because I know the story, and I find it very compelling, which is you grew up in a certain environment.
Yes.
And you were, in essence, by that environment, you were taught the way to think, the way to act. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you kept that going until something happened between, let's say, the first and second term for Obama.
Correct.
Because you voted for Obama the first
correct.
Time.
Correct. Wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, willingly, happily.
And did you vote for him on the second term?
I did not.
Which means somewhere in that 4-year period, something happened.
Yes.
What happened?
What happened was the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, very famously, that in 40 years or less, he could see, did he say black man or someone black becoming president of the United States? And when I remember the reporting of Barack Obama, his language was all about merit and character. It was not the we shall overcome, right? So what I mean by that is, he wasn't blaming whites. He wasn't referring back to oppression by way of white people or an oppressive American history. Very, I can literally remember the interview on 60 Minutes before it was time for him to, when we get down to the nitty gritty of elections for presidential elections, you know, it's after Labor Day. Mm-hmm. And he was asked on 60 Minutes, if you don't make it as president, if you're not elected, do you think it will be because of your race? And he said, no, it will be because I haven't done what it takes to prove to the American people that I have what it takes to become president, period. He's talking about merit and character and ability, not about race and oppression. And I said, you know what? This is the man that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was speaking of. We finally are here. We have made it. And so, again, I happily, enthusiastically voted for him. Once he was in office, the language of the people that I spent time around wasn't, hey, now that there is a Black man in office, by all means, let's start businesses. Let's, you know, come together. It was the language I heard, and the things that I heard was, oh, now that we have a Black man in office, I want more welfare, right? I want that aid. Obama's in office, I want my Obama phone, okay? And so it was more, give me more handouts, and he can be the one to stuff my pockets and give me more aid and become more dependent on government instead of embracing capitalism and free markets and enterprise. And so I recognize that he switched his language and his position, and that nothing with regard to my culture, my people, was getting better. And I recognize that something's amiss here. Why are we not voting our values? And once I had started that questioning, once that seed of questioning was planted, mixing that in with the time that I spent with veterans made me recognize that it was just time to start thinking and voting and behaving as an individual.
What's interesting about the story, thank you, Cicely, is that you're, and tell me if I get this right, you're completely lined up. This is exactly what you were hoping to hear, you wanted. This is going to be wonderful. But then something changed.
Something changed.
And what changed was first what was being said. This is what I'm hearing. The narrative was changing from, you know, being strong, being an individual, on and on and on, to I'll give you more. Now, something, apparently a lot of the people you know didn't pick up on the change. Or they happily welcomed the change, but something triggered in you, and it was, wait a minute, this is not what I voted for.
Correct. The support for Obama was because of his skin color, because of how much melanin he had in his skin, not because of policy.
Wait a minute, melanin and oxygen and the amount of oxygenated hemoglobin, both of
yes.
them.
Right. So he had blind support from the Black community simply because, you know, he belonged to the culture. So did his wife and his children. His children and his wife look like my family. And so that I'm just going to give him blind support.
Got
right?
it.
Yeah.
Now, what happened first? Because I know you went to volunteer at the VA.
Mm-hmm.
Was the narrative hitting you differently before you went to the VA, or was it, did go visiting the VA help you hear the change in the narrative?
So I started questioning before I volunteered.
Okay.
And veterans that only sparked and piqued my interest to keep digging and asking questions. And it led me to understand that there was a reasoning for it, and I was justified in questioning.
So you get to the VA and you meet veterans.
Yes. I meet veterans.
And you hear the stories.
Yeah.
What did you tell us about? And then we're going to get to the monolith.
Sure.
Tell us about how these stories, touched you.
Sure. One in particular, I spent the most time, I was almost assigned to this gentleman. He was 102 years old, World War II veteran.
102.
Yes. Great guy. He was reported in national news and local news, of course. But he spoke to me about his reason for serving, that he would do it all over again in a heartbeat, that why he loved America, why he loved America's founding, the founding fathers, why he fought so hard and fervently for it, the exceptionalism of America. And he talked to me about America's history. And never once did he ever bring up race. There was no animus in him. He was just so very proud to serve that thing that's waving behind the back of your head right now. You know, that flag was so important to him, and the freedoms, the right to self-determine, individuality. He was just so very proud. And so from there, I learned America's history. I learned that there were a whole lot of Black people who paid into America's history that was erased, and that he knew about it and proudly served. And so my questioning was purposeful. The timing was just right. And I was absolutely justified in questioning. And I was just felt so very validated, enlightened and validated by this 102-year-old man. And many others, many others, many others.
That is wonderful. The one that you, because I think about it this way, you got this once in a lifetime opportunity to meet this man.
Correct.
Because you volunteered. You said, I'm going to give back. So you already had this attitude of helping. And you meet him. But the characteristic that I want to mention is that you were open to listen. And I would say this is what we all need to do. Just because you are willing to listen to someone doesn't mean you're going to agree with them.
Correct.
And you and I have a term for this, don't we? What are we looking for?
We are looking for the CG.
Common ground.
Common ground.
If we all start out with, somebody new or getting into a heavy topic, okay, what's our common ground? What will we stand on equally? Now we can get into the differences and just listen. And having somebody willing to share is wonderful. Excuse me, that's the gentleman. Having someone willingly listen, you, okay, history has now just been transmitted. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because this is something we can all do in our lives regularly. Be willing to listen. Be willing to share, to exchange. It's not a commitment to agree. It's just to be willing to learn. Now, one more thing before I forget. He talked about a lot of the Black people who are not in the everyday known history. Well, and I think the audience may know, I speak about five women from the American Revolution. These are the five women I first encountered when I stumbled into this topic. And it's just the first five I found. That's why when people talk about I talk about the founders.
Yes.
I don't use founding fathers. I'm not knocking them.
Sure.
But I know women were heavily involved in getting this done. And to me, they're part of the founding. That's the term I use. So you get to the point where you've tell us about the book. I think there was a book he mentioned or that you investigated.
Right. So, and part of this education was I essentially went back to American history school. This man was so full of knowledge. And, ooh, my apologies. I thought that was off. My apologies. He taught me, you know, there was this history. It's about our presidents and our, you know, Declaration of Independence and war history, military history of America. And I learned that Woodrow Wilson.
You had to bring him up.
I had to bring him up because this was just something that was so memorable. It's stained in my memory and I still forget the volume that Woodrow Wilson wrote. It was a 5-volume of history of America. And he deliberately omitted all people of color out of America's history. Okay. And he was also the very first president to fire all blacks out of any government jobs, with the exception of one. He left one in just to have that token one person. He's also the very first person to show racist propaganda, Birth of a Nation, in the White House. That was the first film shown in the White House by way of Woodrow Wilson. And so just recognizing that, you know, our history isn't perfect. We can come back to that.
Yeah, I'm going to, because we have about 1 minute left. I don't want to cut you off.
No worries.
But I will say Woodrow Wilson and I will get into it, why I do not really like him. But now I have other reasons not to like him. Call in number 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944, and press 1. This is Alan Myers and Cicely Davis on the Power Hour. We'll be right back after these important messages. Thanks for being with us today.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. ShopThePowerMall.com. That's ThePowerMall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Discover the benefits of vitamin B17 and its potential role in supporting overall health and well-being with our Power Hour partner, Richardson Nutritional Center. Their natural bitter apricot seeds and vitamin B17 capsules have high levels of B17, also known as amygdalin, which is a naturally occurring compound found in plant-based sources. At Richardson Nutritional Center store, they prioritize your health and satisfaction. Their Laetril vitamin B17 capsules are carefully manufactured under strict quality standards to ensure purity and potency. Buy Laetril B17 capsules or bitter apricot seeds today and embark on a natural journey towards wellness. To order, visit thepowerhour.com, click on the Partners tab, or call us at 877-817-9829.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We are what we eat, what we drink, and what we breathe, and how we think. However, it is most important how we think so that we make the appropriate decisions on what we eat, drink, and breathe, says Dr. Eric Llewellyn, Holistic Advisory Board member of the Royal Society of Health in the UK. Only Grown by Nature offers true, organic, whole food supplements that have been proven by multiple peer-reviewed studies to be superior in not only absorption, but retention, and most importantly, utilization within our bodies. The marketing is supported by a foundation of truth in supplementation. Grown by Nature offers and delivers to you and your body whole food nutrients that are lacking in today's diets. To order, call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Good day, everyone. The Power Hour Live is back. Alan Myers here with Cicely Davis. Cicely, they gave us another half hour. Can you believe it?
Oh, I'm so grateful.
Well, where we left off was talking about Woodrow Wilson, his history of the American people, how somehow he wasn't able to include any history of Black people in the book.
Just wasn't able to do so.
Ah, and so where we left off, which is where I'd like you to begin again, is when he took office, he fired every person of color except one.
Except one.
Go yes. from there. And then, so, and then I'll talk to you about why I don't like Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, and I think, you know, sure, those are my reasons. But I think what was the purpose of this 102-year-old veteran telling me this? He's letting me know history. And even though that's not a pretty part of our history, right? Our history is our history. But he's letting me know that he gladly fought for those who were omitted out of that 5-volume set. And we would happily do it again. He was letting me know that, you know, that he acknowledged that perhaps, again, not perfect, flawed, but it makes up America in itself. And that is worth fighting for. And so I was just so very grateful. From there, he also was just letting me know that he fully understood history. And if he, as an average Joe, right, knew that, others knew it, and they were happily out there fighting for this country. And so I learned a little, I learned a lot more that the original party of Black Americans was the Republican Party, and on and on. And we held office in the Republican Party, and on and on and on. And so from there, I began to do more research and digging more into our history outside of my time with the VA, and started to try to have conversations with, you know, my family members and people that I knew, and was so very, and sometimes violently rejected, right? They just simply were not open to it. They believed that America was simply founded to enslave Blacks, and that, you know, that this is just a racist history and it could never be anything but. So, and those words can be very hurtful. Really tough, hurtful time for me. Didn't have a whole lot of people to speak to about what I was learning other than those wonderful veterans.
Thank you for that. My thoughts on Woodrow Wilson. I didn't know about the history. I'm going to check it out.
Sure.
What I knew about him was 1913, which I consider possibly the worst congressional year ever. During his term, you had the 16th Amendment passed, the 17th Amendment passed, or ratified, I should say, and the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
Yeah.
The 16th Amendment was horrible, and if you look up the book, 2-volume, The Law That Never Was, the author will explain exactly why that amendment was never properly ratified. The 17th Amendment, which turned the senators into being appointees of a state to being voted on, why the states ever ratified that, I have no idea. And then again, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. It's been ugly ever since. What's interesting, and then I want to get into the more of the personal of what you dealt with as you became more and more of who you are today. People will talk about Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
We all know about Sally Hemings. We all know about Monticello and the slaves. There's a thing called the Declaration of Independence. And in 1950, a professor from Princeton, I do believe, Professor Boyd, he was part of a reconstruction of all his letters, and he put together what he considers the original draft of the Declaration of Independence. I suggest to everyone, go look it up. Original draft of the Declaration of Independence, put together by Professor Boyd. Go to the section before the end. It's Doug Gibbs and I will argue, is it 360 or is it 364 words? Because his system says 364, mine says 360. I'll say it's less than 400. If you want to read one of the most damning statements against slavery and the King of England for allowing this, you read that.
Okay.
And this came from the pen of Thomas Jefferson. You could not free slaves in Virginia at his time because if you freed them, you had to provide for them. He couldn't do that. And many times the Virginia legislature wanted to stop the importation. King of England said no. It's an interesting history. And the fact that Woodrow Wilson left all of this out, given he's talking about a history of the American people, he didn't do it justice.
Right.
Now moving on to, you have this new view. You're aware of, and, you know, tell me if I'm getting this right. You have this understanding there's a thing called the black monolith, which is a phrase coined by Thomas Sowell.
That's what, at least I give it credit to. I've never heard anyone else use it. Yep.
Right. And you learned because you somehow, some way, something clicked. You opened up your mind to looking and questioning what's going on. Something doesn't feel right. Then you meet your 102-year-old veteran. And then you start looking at things differently. And then my understanding is you begin to talk about this with your family, with your friends, the people closest to you. How well were you received?
Not well received at all. And so the most, I would say the most venomous reaction came from those who belonged in the church from the top down. And so what I like to point out and or remind people is that when we see, and it's very relevant right now today, because this is a presidential election.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Sure.
Because I really want to be clear, and we've touched on it, but not, and we're going to get into it. Give me a short description of the Black Monolith.
The Black Monolith is the Black cultural expectation to vote all things Black and vote Democrat, all the way down the ticket.
Got it.
Without
Thank
hesitation
you.
Or question or deviation.
No question.
No question, no deviation.
No thinking.
No thinking. Just do all it. Right. Do what you're told. It's what we do. It defines us.
Please continue. Thank you.
Yeah. So again, as we are in a presidential election, you will see that, and this is not at all about party, this conversation, but you will see that the Democrat Party will go into Black churches because the Black church has such a profound influence and impact to Black thinking and the way that Black people vote. This is where the monolith has its strongest hold. Okay. It comes from the church and it filters into household and community. And so when I had pastors and deacons and other leaders in Black churches, just curse me, call me names, degrade me because I dared to basically go against not just a monolith and Black people, but what they were preaching, right? That was dangerous for them. And so we're talking vile names like bedwench, coon, porch monkey, okay, spear chucking, shine, those kind of things. Very, very hurtful, disgusting words and name calling that, you know, really, there were times that I really questioned if, you know, maybe I was, you know, being a deviant for no reason or, you know, am I looking to just start up trouble? Am I wrong about this? You know, I'm all alone here. I'm fighting this battle all alone. And it caused me to question at times, but yeah, that can be very, very lonely and very, very hurtful.
I know this part of the story, and I smiled a moment just because of the words you used. Not that I thought it was funny.
Right. Right.
And every time I hear this, it comes back into me. How hurtful, mm-hmm. how painful. Forces a questioning of, okay, if this is my community's response, and again, I'm giving you my feedback and you tell me, you know, you comment on it. My community, my family mm-hmm. is pushing me back, pushing me down, telling me I'm wrong. Yet you had the inner strength to continue on, to ask questions, and to this is what's interesting, and we're, the one last thing I want to get to before we end is a short discussion on, okay, we have this thing, or you, the black monolith, this attitude, this way, da-da-da-da. And apparently, if you're within the monolith, which is that I will call it, you don't get to question. You follow, you just follow. If you question the monolith, you are rogue. And what gets me about this, and as you were talking, is that I think I understand your style of communication. It's not aggressive. It's not vulgar. It's not, you know, shaming, name calling. It's, hey, I want to have a chat. Let's talk about this. This is what I've seen. This is what I know. Yet the response is completely different. And I kind of know about this because I'm not like most people in my life.
Sure.
And I get the same kind of pushback.
Sure.
And it is hurtful. But when you get it from such a wide group of people, mm-hmm. and the words being used simply because they didn't want to have a conversation, for me, Cicely, that shows an incredible amount of strength. And I am very, very thankful that you stood tall and you stood strong and kept going. Because, a lot of people would just fall away because the negativity is so heavy. Is that an accurate description?
It is. Thank you for that. Well, what I know is that once I was led to research and I'm learning facts, now we're back to the beginning of the show. Woodrow Wilson absolutely omitted black people from America's history. That is a fact. And my mentioning and bringing that up served as not just deviation from the monolith, but it was also a threat. It's a threat to livelihoods. You know, I mean, you think about that. If the party that I pump, right, the party that I'm driving people to vote for and to blindly support were actually, horrendously bad, right? They were so abusive to my entire race. You know, what do I have to stand on? How do I answer for that, right? What kind of job does, he's on MSNBC, Al Sharpton, if the truth of the Democratic Party actually comes out, well, what's my role? Where's my livelihood is bust, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I like to refer to them as poverty pimps because they're not only pushing untruths and hiding and omitting truth, these very policies is what's leading, is the absolute contributors to black poverty in America. So we went from a time period like Jim Crow where racism was legal, 80% black families, two-parent homes, to now 80% fatherless homes, right? The devastation of the war on poverty introduced by LBJ has had introducing welfare has had such a devastating impact and contribution to black poverty in America. And yet the monolith is still pushed today, still, in spite of these obvious and known facts. These are known facts by black Americans, by black leaders.
Now, just to be clear, what party? Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. Okay. What party was Woodrow Wilson?
He was the Democrat Party.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
What party? Wow. Who would have thought it?
Who would have thought?
How about LBJ?
Yeah, that would be the Democrat Party as well.
Mm. And so what did he push? What did LBJ push?
You know, what he pushed, how does Larry Elder say it? He pushed welfare, but the immoral and unethical decision to not support children, right? And here it is. The war on poverty was just simply this. If you want help, Black women, then the Black man cannot be in the home. If you want help, if you want aid, if you want support, if you want welfare, if you want the government to help you, then the Black man cannot be in the home. Right? And like I said, and you know this, and maybe this is another show, that was a decision that had to be made. That was the proposal. And unfortunately, Black Americans accepted that proposal, so much so that, like I said, today, 8 out of 10 households in America, Black Americans, are fatherless homes. So it is not only just was it accepted, it has literally become a part of our culture. And that's a serious issue that needs to be addressed.
It's a very, by the way, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because this light's not coming. Anyway, it's what kind of person, what kind of party proposes a quote unquote solution if a father's not in the home, you get money. If there's a father in the home, you don't get anything. Really? That's the solution that's offered? As opposed to, well, if the family only makes X, you get this. If it makes Y, you get a little less, you know, on and on and on. This was about disrupting
family. That's right.
And it comes from a known party. Yet what I'm learning, and tell me if I get this right, what is just devastating the community is provided for and provided by and supported by a party that gets the community support.
Correct.
Why?
Because of a misunderstanding of history. So when you're ignorant to your history, you're bound to do and repeat or accept things without that prior knowledge, okay? And so I would say that Black Americans misunderstand completely the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. They completely misunderstand the purpose and the impact of a Rosa Parks. And so on the surface, what they see is someone who was Black in America who stood up to someone who was white and was victorious. That is just a very surface understanding. But what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was really fighting for was personal responsibility, having the opportunity. Just don't block my opportunity. I don't need a handout. I'm not asking for a handout. What I'm asking is that you simply don't block my opportunity. And from there, as an individual, I will make sure that I pursue education, that I pursue history, that I research, right? That I weigh data, that I can make my own decisions that's best for me and my family and be a positive contributing person to this experiment called America. That's truly what the mission of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was. It wasn't to hate Whitey, as it so It wasn't Black supremacy, right? That's not what the purpose of Dr. Martin Luther King or a Sojourner Truth or a Harriet Tubman or a Marcus Garvey, that's not what their purpose was. It wasn't Black supremacy.
Very
it's about self-determination.
Very powerful. Thank you, Cicely.
Yeah.
You used the phrase ignorant to our history, and there's an old saying which I've slightly tweaked, and the way I say it is the reason to know and study history is to learn what to repeat and what not to repeat.
Absolutely.
And everybody across the board needs to do this, and we're not doing that. It's because if you learn the history, in essence, you won't just accept some politicized version of it.
Right.
And that's what we're getting a lot of today. For me, I think this has been very helpful to understand what it's like, what it was like for you to be in the environment you're in. Does that negativity, that pushback still exist for you?
It does. It's getting better. We have a lot more outspoken people, as you know. We have a Larry Elder to join Thomas Sowell, and we have other figures.
But I mean within your community family.
No, that has not changed. That monolith is very deep-seated, and it's going to take a lot. So when you talk about CG, common ground, the approach is very important. The words that are used are very important, and that state of mind. So if you're not prepared, definitely don't enter in those conversations, but common ground is really important.
Well, we got one. Thank you, Cicely, so much. I'm going to wrap with this. Real quick, where can people find you?
Yes. So I have a podcast. It's called The Savage Truth. With Cicely Davis. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis.
Thank you for that. Well, we're at the end of it. I hope you all enjoyed it. Cicely, this has been wonderful. I want to thank people for listening and supporting the Power Hour. I'm Alan Myers. You can find me on FedEd, FEDED.US, and on Sundays on Patriot Soapbox. For the Republic. Until next time, to all you great people out there. And again, Cicely, thank you so much for being here. Y'all be safe and well. Take care.
Is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give. For questions or comments about today's broadcast, please feel free to email us at support@thepowerhour.com or call 877-817-9829 and select option number 2. We'd love your show feedback and guest recommendations, so please feel free to reach out and be a part of the Power Hour team.